Welcome back to CinemaCob, WKNC's horror podcast. I'm going to be your host today. I'm Sean, also known as Lead Pipe, and I have with me my two devilish hosts.
Oh, God.
I am Mason, also known as DJ Crush.
I'm Natalia, otherwise known as DJ Roxy.
Awesome. We have come to you today with the best movie ever made. Probably going to be the movie of the year. Definitely the movie of our year. Who would like to take it off?
It's Five Nights at Freddy's.
And I would like to formally apologize to our listeners because I very much did lie to you at the end of the last episode when I said that we were doing Blair Witch next, because I forgot that FNAF was coming out so soon after I said that. And we are a horror movie podcast made by a bunch of radio nerds. So trust and believe, we are going to prioritize Five Nights at Freddy's if and when ever possible.
Yeah, but like Five Nights at Freddy's deserves all the priorities. Like, I know you and I are, you and me, Mason, are familiar with it. But Sean, you didn't know any FNAF before we went into this movie.
Nope.
And you like dropped it on us after we finished it. Like we were walking out yes. and you were like, I actually
don't know anything
about FNAF besides what we saw in the movie.
So just to to key the dearest listeners in on our movie going experience, we saw this in theaters. It was lovely.
Opening night. It was the Thursday before.
Opening night.
I don't know.
Somehow it was at a theater before opening night.
We can like throw in tidbits as we're describing the movie about like specific scenes and the crowd reaction. Yeah. But after the fact, when Sean told us that he had never seen anything about FNAF, we stood outside for at least another hour just talking about it and like word vomiting literally everything we know about FNAF and all the references that were in this movie, which trust and believe we'll get to.
Yeah, like trying to explain the lore, even though like
we don't really know it.
Yeah, it's been like so many years since like FNAF was like actually genuinely like a major like interest of mine, because that would have been middle school and like I'm about to graduate college. So like I'm a bit rusty and there's like so many like new games now and like there's like books.
There's a lot of books.
Once the books started coming out, that's when I kind of fell off. Because I think Silver Eyes just came out right when I was like, I'm too cool for FNAF. And now I'm a freshman in college and here we are.
And like now you have to read them. Like,
I don't know how to do that.
But like you don't even like need to know like all of the stuff from all those pieces of media to go into this movie. Like maybe some of it, like the like critical stuff, like specifically with like William Afton, which we were just doing a MatPat game theory watch to get our lore in before
to pregame this show.
Yeah, we just rewatched it and then we watched some lore, so we're like ready to talk about this movie and all the important things about it.
I feel like as a person who has scarcely consumed any Freddy Fazbear content, I feel like I'm the best seated to moderate you two talking over me the entire episode.
We didn't really plan this out evenly, because we were like, oh, it's going to be so much fun to like trade off who's the like quote-unquote host for the episode, and we managed to give Sean the one episode he does not know anything about, so,
and it's perfect.
Apologies, Sean.
I'll be like a presidential moderator between two psychopaths like normal government. And I feel like the biggest thing we should talk about is that this movie was intended for fans. Yeah. It wasn't intended. I mean, it was it wanted to go to a wider audience, but I feel like the director came out and was like, yeah, this is a movie for the fans. We are not pandering, but
I mean,
this is,
I think that
for an audience,
perhaps my massive enjoyment of this movie is just because I like FNAF and I think it's really cool that like they made a movie about it. And honestly, they did a pretty good job with it.
I would say so. I think I can kind of speak for all of us in saying that it's not a very good movie.
Hey,
it's the best movie I've ever seen.
But it was very entertaining, specifically as a FNAF fan, because I just kept looking over at Natalia every 5 seconds, being like, there's a reference. Do you see the reference?
And I would be like, I don't know what the hell is going on.
You would sink further into your chair.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there was, like, a lot of things that, like, because I'm not, like, as up to date on the lore, like, definitely, like, details and, like, the background that I'm, like, not really, like, noticing, like, what they are. Upon this rewatch, like, there was more, like, Marinette content, which we don't care about spoilers, right?
No. If you're going into this, if you're going into our review show really concerned about spoilers, that's on you. But also, it's Five Nights at Freddy's. You probably already know what happens.
I think the best way to start off would probably be getting into like a quick, as quick as we can, a summary of this movie. I know if you've enjoyed our last episode, you know we went at length about the Babadook.
And you only saw about half of it.
I was brutal with the editing, but...
A moment of silence for our editor, Sean, and Natalia, because I don't know how to edit to save my life.
But I feel like I'll give it off to one of you to start off, since as being the actual fans of the content, you guys know the gravity of this movie better.
I think I can take that if we don't mind.
Please do.
This movie starts with... I don't know if Michael has a last name. I think he does, but I didn't read it on his thing.
Schmidt?
Mike Schmidt. Duh. Yeah, Mike Schmidt, played by Josh Hutcherson. Absolute cutie pie.
PETA.
Cut.
Nice.
I'm on a different track. I can
best
just edit it
boy.
Out.
Anyway. Well,
good thing I just mentioned that you said that.
Mike just got fired from his job and he needs to find a new job because he is the sole caretaker of his younger sister. Mm-hmm. And Mike also deals with a lot of guilt for the death of his younger brother, Garrett, when he was a kid. And his like main thing in this movie is like how he... Is it just like dream theory?
Yes, it is. If I may take this
yeah,
from
of course.
You for a moment. When dream theory got introduced... I nearly walked out of the theater because for those that are uninitiated, such as our dearest Sean, even though I told you about this after the fact, dream theory is a theory explaining the first four games popularized by MatPat that was very plausible in saying that they were all the dreams of a dying child.
All four games?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Why would a kid dream about that?
Because he got his frontal lobe.
I know with like the fourth game, like the idea is that like it's like the kid in like the hospital bed or like recovering after getting his
right.
And he's like having like nightmares about all like these like nightmarish versions of the animatronics coming at him, because like in that he's like checking like the closet and like the hallways and his like weird two hallway bedroom.
Extremely strange bedroom.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Is he in like the master suite? Anyways.
They probably felt bad for him.
Probably.
Yeah, but he's been using dream theory to try to re-go to the camping trip where his brother was kidnapped to like try to find like any more information about the person who took him. Yeah, but he lost his job, so he goes to a career counselor and is offered a job as a night security guard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder where.
A particularly suspicious job counselor by the name of Steve Raglan, aka, spoiler warning, last chance, William Afton.
Oh,
played,
what? Total
oh,
shocker.
Big
played
shocker.
By the wonderful.
Incomparable.
Oh.
Another adjective.
Oh, I don't have any adjectives. I'm sorry.
Hot.
Sexy.
There you go. Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard.
I don't think he was sexy in this movie. I'm
no.
sorry. Those glasses right. did not do him any favors. Or that, like, goofy ass suit. He looked goofy in that suit at the end.
Oh, you mean the springlock suit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, his, like, little head, like, with, like, the big, like, kind of, like, puffy, like furry-esque body. Yeah.
He suffers from the Iron Man effect, where it's like anyone would kind of look ridiculous in that big of a suit.
But it's even bigger than the Iron Man suit. And it's yellow and has a bow tie.
It's a bunny, yeah.
Cut this part out.
No.
Off the record.
On the topic of Matthew Lillard being hot in this movie, I have most certainly seen some fan art.
Oh? What kind of fan art?
The fan art that you're thinking of.
I actually don't know. And I think that after this, you should show me.
Yeah, and I think that we should keep this up.
Anyways, this is all going in, baby.
Mike just got his job at Freddy's.
The rundown Freddy's Fast Bear Pizzas.
Yes. He takes his job reluctantly, as he doesn't want to work nights because he has a young sister who's a grade school age, who struggles with what they think at first is some kind of mental disorder, where she's seeing imaginary friends, she's very quiet, but obviously kids just are like that.
Yeah.
So
it is very specifically said by I guess the school counselor, she's not mentally ill, she's just kind of like that. She's a child.
They're just, yeah, the aunt who is trying to get custody of said child is trying to say that she is, so she can pull the pity card on
and get more money from the government.
Thankfully, Mike is not all alone in taking care of Abby, because he does have a babysitter by the name of Max.
Yes.
Who's kind of two-faced.
Who is kind of two-faced. And we can get into this later, but I would like to just go ahead and bring it up now. I thought that she would be significantly more important to this film.
We can talk about it right now.
Let's talk about it right now.
I did too. One of her first lines is...
Her first line?
Yeah.
That she speaks.
She's watching like a commercial, like an infomercial. And she's just saying like, oh, I would love someone to buy me a ring. Mm-hmm. And Josh Hutcherson is just walking in. So, you know, everyone's first thought is...
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first thought.
She wants him to propose.
Yeah.
Not the case.
We did actually notice this on the second rewatch.
Third for me. But.
Yeah, this is also my third watch.
My second watch.
Oh, you've only seen it twice?
Yeah. Right. We do notice, at least I noticed on my second watch, that she does the "I wish someone would buy me a ring" line while having a ring on all but her pointer fingers. On both hands, which I have to say, pretty funny in retrospect.
I don't know if that's intentional, because you do learn later that she is like being paid to be around by the aunt to get dirt on Josh Hutcherson's character.
She didn't even like get paid though. Like she was like promised money.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to pay up. Like, but the aunt like paid her to like find like evidence that like the kid is like being neglected.
She wasn't even getting paid by
she's getting paid by no one.
No, she wasn't getting paid for
Mike's
babysitting.
Broke the aunt, well, the aunt's just not gonna pay her, like,
and
this girl.
By this point, Michael has already gotten the essentially like the forms to sign over custody of Abby, the daughter, to the aunt for this. And the aunt is like really gunning against him. So he's like, okay, I have to finally keep a job for once and not assault anyone.
Yeah, that like keeps him working at like the super sketchy rundown with like the creepy animatronics building as the security guard, because he's like, he just needs the money and he can't have Abby taken away from her, from him.
So night two at Freddy's Fazbear is a particularly strange night. So
why do you say so?
He goes into work and he goes to sleep. And part of dream theory is that through dreams, you can remember things that you would not otherwise. And he's trying to figure out who kidnapped his brother. And he goes into the stream and things are different. There are now 5 children just kind of standing there. And he's like, do you know who took my brother, to these literal children? And they all scatter, and he runs after them. And by this point, he's going after a character who is dressed like Foxy, who slashes at his arm, and he wakes up, and, oh god, there's a slash on my arm now. We're going by Freddy rules, the other Freddy. And by that point, he gets a buzz at the door.
Oh yeah, this is when Vanessa shows up.
Would you like to take that?
Vanessa.
I mean, Vanessa. Yeah, sure. And I'm going to start this off by saying, I don't like Vanessa.
Me neither.
Like, I like her.
I don't know. She's kind of...
She's a little freak.
In that she tricks people into working...
No, she's just strange.
She's so indirect. Like, she's like, you're going to quit. It's like, why do you say that? It's like, because everyone else did. And she's like trying to like warn him. Cause like, here's our fun spoiler. She is William Afton's daughter in this.
Yes.
So like, that was like one of like the big changes from the lore
different
that they
from
did.
The lore.
Cause like in the lore, like Mike Schmidt is a pseudonym for Michael Afton, who is William Afton's son. His like oldest kid and like pretty much the only surviving one, I think, because like his other two
surviving, in air quotes. Yeah. I did air quotes and then
doesn't he become like
you all cannot see it?
His like insides become like animatronic later on, and they like take control of his body.
True, we can get to that later.
What? No, it's important lore.
We can discuss it now. It's fine.
We can discuss it now. Just in the myriad of ways that this differs from the games. Mike Schmidt, no relation to William Afton.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa, who is also a character in the games and is not originally related to William, is mm-hmm. related to him now,
mm-hmm.
which was a strange but I think kind of fun twist on everything that's happened thus far.
Like, it at least, like, still showed that, like, his kids, like, do have, like, an important relation to him, because, like, that is, like, a big thing, like, with the lore is, like, how he's like lost his kids, because I think both of them were killed by his animatronics. I forgot their names, but one of them was crushed by the Fredbear suit, had his head caved in because of Michael, and then is the other one Charlotte? Wasn't she like grabbed by Circus Baby? Or no, Charlotte was
Charlotte is Henry's daughter?
Yeah, the business partner's daughter. Yeah.
Whoever's in Baby.
No, Henry's daughter is in the Marinette.
Yes.
Because she's the one who gave life to the main five animatronics, which
Williams,
I guess is not...
William's daughter is in Baby.
Yes.
What is her name?
I don't know. I don't think it really matters. You look so confused over there, Sean.
I'm just letting y'all ride.
I'm sure you at home were equally confused.
As you probably saw in the game theory video we watched in preparation... William Afton and Henry Emily, ?
Yes.
Their business partners.
Strange surname.
In their, Freddy Fazbear businesses. But then kids start getting into accidents there, and then a murder whenever, like, William's kid's death was an accident, but then he killed Henry's kid, like, right outside the establishment. That's, like, probably, like, the first possession? I don't know if...
Yes, first position.
Yeah.
Because the security puppet goes out and collapses on the body. Rip puppet.
I think that's important to,
and
like,
the child too,
the
I guess.
Uninitiated, to mention that this isn't just, like, a animatronic thing. There's ghosts in this.
It's all ghosts.
It's all ghosts.
It's, and I didn't realize that, because it really doesn't make it obvious in the games that everything is ghosts.
I mean,
it makes it kind of obvious.
Does it?
It's
I've
like
never
the,
played them,
it's
so
in,
I just mean like snapshots of the game mostly.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's like very much like in like the mini games. I don't think the first one didn't have any mini games, but like as like the series continued between nights, they would add in like mini games that kind of like show off like more of the story, mm-hmm. but you kind of like play along. So like the one that I was referring to with the Marinette giving the main five animatronics, is it four or five? It doesn't matter. Giving the animatronics life. It like literally like carries like the suits or like the kids like to either the kids to the suits or the suits to the kids to like have them possess them. And I guess like, you know, like maybe try to get revenge on William Afton. But in this movie, They're kind of buddy buddy with him.
They're kind of buddy
besties.
They're like
because they're being
controlled by. That's what I didn't really get was the motivation of the animatronics. But I don't want to get too far off of our Vanessa.
We can come back to the pictures because I have a lot to say about the pictures.
We do have a lot to say about the pictures.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Vanessa is William Afton's daughter.
Yeah, but right now she's a cop.
She is a cop now, but she like always like comes and like hangs out at like the restaurant. I don't know if she just like goes there like in her free time like every night, and she just like pulled up and like saw that there was someone else there and is like, "Bro, leave. I'm trying to have my Freddy and Friends time."
I would say I'm the Vanessa defender of this podcast, but I do have to say, if I knew that my father killed a lot of people and then shoved them in suits, I would probably try and stay away from the building where it happened.
Why would I go there?
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Though I guess she
smells
is like,
bad.
She is under William's influence and is probably going there specifically to make sure Mike isn't like tampering with anything.
Or like maybe like finding out too much.
Probably.
That's probably her goal that she was given. Mm-hmm. It also seems like she's trying to get Mike out, but also it seems like she cares for these animatronics.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because of her father or if that's because there's kids inside these things.
She might just have like very like tender like childhood memories of like being at the restaurant and like interacting with them that
probably.
Like even though she's like older now and like she knows that the kids are in there.
Oh, yeah.
She knows that her father has murdered at least 5 kids. 6, actually.
6 if we include
including
Garrett.
Michael's brother, Garrett, which...
Spoilers, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean...
it's kind of heavily implied.
It's
oh,
never directly
shown,
there's a
child
shown,
murderer,
but...
and there was a child that was murdered? Must be some other guy.
Yeah
unrelated.
Garrett just walked off.
Vanessa just, like, I think she, like, shows off the animatronics. She's like, "Have you met them yet?" And, like, makes them do, like, their little show.
Yeah.
Stays until the morning.
Yeah.
Like, they leave together.
And
then she's just kind of, like, popping up every other night as well.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of night 2, when day crests, when Mike and Vanessa are leaving, that's when the goons hired by the aunt show up, including Max, and who might be Max's boyfriend...
I think brother.
His brother.
Brother?
Yeah.
Max's brother, along with 2 other guys who are like, "We're gonna go mess the place up so he loses his job."
Yeah, they're like, "You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna trash the place during the day and get him fired as the night guard."
That's what I really didn't get. Because, like, that's not his job during the day.
For $1,000 split between 4 people... $250 to ruin a man's life.
It's like 2001. That can get you more.
Not that much.
That's
more.
That's true, but also if you're...
I could buy you a house then.
You can get like a GameCube maybe?
Was PS1 out by then?
I don't know. It's like a
Genesis.
I only know Nintendo.
We need to hire a resident fact checker so we can look up things like how much does a PS4 cost? PS4.
Good lord. Inflation.
Wrong decade.
But the intruders, get their shit rocked.
They get clapped.
They don't just get their ass kicked. They die.
They die pretty hard, actually.
I would say they get their asses eaten, but like one of them specifically did not get their ass eaten.
Also, that has a whole different context anyway.
Yeah, perhaps. So, everything starts off with one of my biggest questions about this movie, so much so that I accidentally wrote it 3 separate times in my notes. Allow me to read it off for you all. Quote, "Why is the cupcake like that?"
Elaborate.
So the cupcake in this movie immediately begs a lot of questions. Namely, is it possessed?
That was my biggest question.
Also, why does it have teeth?
Yeah. Well, I imagine at some point, at least this Afton definitely made them as killing machines.
Probably.
You think like the cupcake was like an accessory?
I'd like to.
It's
think
like,
so.
Hey, Chica.
I imagine.
I need you just to serve a little bit more.
Literally.
Take this.
Gave her a tray and everything.
But it has like eyeballs and like it blinks like the rest of them, mm-hmm. and like it just kind of like floats too.
Which is strange.
For sure.
It's the ghost.
I think my biggest thing is the rest of the animatronics have kids in them.
Yes.
Is there a kid stuffed in that thing? It's like a foot by a foot by a foot.
Maybe it's
Garrett. Like a square. Not a square. It's a cube. Anyway.
So the very first death scene that occurs in this film occurs in the kitchen where Chica is a big fan of going, both in the movie and in the games, where this dude opens this fridge and there's the cupcake in it. And then he hears something behind him, turns around, turns back around. Nothing there.
Amazing.
Classic horror movie.
Turns back cinema. Around. And Chica is there holding the cupcake and essentially, whoa, plague be upon ye, the cupcake at his face. And things don't really go well for him after that.
Yeah, no, he's also very much dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And also, Chica is probably the scariest looking out of the four.
Chica freaks me out. The way that she, like, just, like, stares. I don't know if it's, like, she doesn't have enough, like, eyelid or something. But, like, one, she's, like, a mood. The way that she just, like, stares off into space and looks like she's, like, has, like, so many, like, voices screaming in her head at all times. But also, like, she is terrifying and kind of haunts me.
I think it's the bird with teeth that really gets me.
Yeah, I can't say I love that.
If they got rid of the teeth, it would instantly look less scary, I feel like.
But this does lead us on to my favorite animatronic of the bunch.
Yeah?
And the next killer. Bonnie.
Yay!
I've always been a massive Bonnie fan. Shout out to blue people.
What the fuck? This? What do you mean?
I love those three guys that play those instruments.
I love the blue man.
So, ever since I was introduced to the franchise, Bonnie has always been my favorite. I just love his design. Why is he blue? But, so he gets this one guy. I don't even know his name, to be honest.
I don't know if they have names.
It's like Thug Number One or some.
The other guy like freaks him out, so he goes running, steps into a closet, and Bonnie's there waiting for him. And I think this is the first actual bit of blood that we see in the movie.
Yeah, it's like a little bloody handprint that
on the glass of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And up next is Brother Guy, who I also don't know the name of, who gets got by Foxy?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Foxy.
Well, Bonnie scares him.
Yes.
And then he's slamming on the door like the opening scene with the security guard.
He gets got by Foxy. And then Max walks in. And this was where I was like getting kind of concerned because, as we said, I thought that Max would have been a bigger character. But no.
Her plot gets shortened, just as she did.
It gets,
just as her height did.
It gets cut pretty hard.
Yeah.
In two, if you will.
Yeah. Bisected. So she sees the ghost of this child, and it's like, literally, what is the child doing in here? They're like currently robbing the place. So she chases after and goes into the maintenance room where there is a Freddy suit. And a little ghostly child voice says, "Warmer, warmer," as she gets closer. And she leans into the mouth. And then a ghost child hand reaches out, grabs her, pulls her in.
Strong kid.
Yoink.
Strong kid. And the suit chomps her in half.
It's awesome.
It is. This is like a lot for a PG-13 film.
We like see her lower half like drop to the floor.
I believe it's the shadow of it.
No, yeah. we see like
we don't see the act itself. But
yeah,
we do
but
see
we
the
see
aftermath.
Her yeah. legs oh, okay, okay. and like torso and like right. not like we don't see like the gore. Like there's like a little bit of like blood. Like this movie is not gory. I wouldn't say it's like necessarily even like violent, except for like the that. Ending scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, PG-13 horror movie. Like you're not gonna do like a lot with it. I actually want to ask you guys, like, how do you feel about, like, the amount of violence in it? Like, the actual horror parts itself?
I definitely was expecting a lot more. I didn't know the rating going in, but now knowing it, I understand. I would have preferred it to be a little scarier, because I was expecting to, you know, I was scared of the games as a kid. Mm-hmm. That's why I never played them. That's why I never consumed any FNAF content. And so it was a little disappointing, but I do get it. Like the audience is generally younger, so it makes sense.
Yeah, this is the level that I thought it would be at. If anything, it's a little more than I thought it would be, mostly because Max got chopped in half, which was still a lot. But I'm honestly fine with it. More gore could have been fun, but I'm not like really somebody who cares that much about gore. If it serves to heighten the movie, then sure. But I don't really think this movie needed it.
Fair. Yeah, I think it's very much like an appropriate level of violence given how much violence is in the games. Most of that horror is like off screen. Like you get the jump scare, but like you don't really see the aftermath. But like, I don't know, it was kind of like weird like in this scene that like shows like these like four intruders getting killed, each picked off by like one member of the squad. They have like each like member of like the like Freddy crew kill one of the people, but like they also like don't really like show like how. It's just kind of like they cut to it afterwards, and it's like what are they even doing to them besides like Freddy obviously chomping her in half. Like the other one just kind of got like I don't know.
God.
Don't know what happened there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the cupcake guy definitely got like just shredded,
mauled to death.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Bonnie, like, what does Bonnie do? Bonnie, just, for the most part, is kind of a cute puppet.
I like him. Again, he's my favorite. But
just looks like you could hug him.
Yeah, he's very huggable.
The rest of them, when they look angry, like you get scared because he just punches them.
I guess.
I mean, it does have opposable thumbs because we see the scene.
I love that scene.
And Bonnie falls over.
I don't know why people like don't like that, but that's not this night.
No.
That's night four.
We can talk about that.
We're on night three because these guys are dead. And I mean, Vanessa comes to see him during the day and is like, why do you have pills at your job? And he like opens up to her about his dead brother.
And how he is going into his dreams to try and find him. Which, not gonna lie, if I was Vanessa, I would be a little concerned.
That was Vanessa to smooch him because he's cute.
Since he is unfortunately down half a babysitter, he has to take Abby to work with him on the third night. And Abby sets up a very lovely looking fort. She's very talented.
It's an amazing fort. I love the forts in this movie.
Is that? I believe that's the fourth night.
No, that's the third night.
No, because the fourth night is like when like they're all like hanging out as a group. The third night is she sets up her fort to sleep in, and he's like, you're just going to sleep in here.
Yeah.
But then whenever he falls asleep, one of the ghost kids who's like, I mean, I don't know if it's like revealed at this point, but like if knowing that she has been friends with these ghost kids, which we saw in her drawings earlier, I'll just like rewind and like talk about like Abby more in detail here, since like this is like where she like starts like actually like interacting with the animatronics. So like Abby is a very quiet girl, as we all mentioned, but she like draws a lot. And our first introduction to her, Mike comes into her room after, I think, his meeting at the career counseling office. And he's, like, trying to talk to her and, like, talking about her drawings. And one of them is, like, I think it's her, him, and, like, four or five, like, random other kids. And he's like, who is that? And she's just like, my friends. But, like, if you look at it, they do all have the characteristics of the ghost children that Mike is seeing in his dreams. Which he realizes a bit later that like she has been talking to these kids even before he got this job, like mm-hmm. for a little bit, which is kind of interesting to like think about, like why. My theory was that like, I don't know, maybe they're like connected because Mike's brother died by the same killer. So yeah. like maybe they felt like some kind of connection and like came to them.
Because it's also her brother.
Yeah. yeah. Once Mike starts working at Five Nights at Freddy's, working at Freddy Fazbear's, I think that's when he starts to also like dream about the same kids. But like yeah. he had to be like in much like closer proximity and like only sees them in his dreams compared to Abby, who has been like during daytime talking to them. But at the third night, whenever she's sleeping there, she wakes up because one of her friends is like, hey, come hang out, come party. And that's when she meets the animatronics.
The animatronic family.
And Mike wakes up from his little powwow dream adventure to hear Abby screaming. And he's like, oh my God. Why is my sister screaming?
They got her.
They got her.
Yeah, they bit her in half. Bite of 87.
It's the bite of 2000. So he runs into the main room and sees that they're all surrounding her. It turns out they were just tickling her. And she said, I thought I was going to die, which was extremely funny to me for some reason.
I don't really know how they were tickling her without, like...
crushing her?
No, like fingers.
I mean, they have fingers, but, like, I feel like it, like, would be weird to, like, try to, like, move them enough.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the ghosts. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it was the kids.
Yeah, but, like, the ghosts have, like, some kind of physical form.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's very gray whether the kids' bodies move. Because, like, the kids, it's implied that the kids' bodies, or not implied, it's said by Vanessa later, yeah. the kids' bodies are in these machines. And then they come out periodically, but it's hard to tell if that's like a ghost, like an apparition.
We also see a few times that like the kids are manifesting in the physical world.
Yeah.
I think like the last one that we see in the movie is like before Foxy, this is a bit of a jump, but whenever Foxy is stalking Abby, it like shows like the kid ghost going back and then the suit appearing. Yeah. So like they have like some kind of physical presence in the world. Sometimes?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they are using their childlike fingers to tickle her, which is gross and weird, but, like...
Yeah, but I mean, there are kids.
Maybe it is just the animatronic.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just hanging out.
She's, like, so happy.
With their murder machines.
I don't think she knows that they're murder machines.
No, of course not.
They don't know quite yet.
Nobody does, I guess, but...
Except for Vanessa.
Who is being extremely vague about all of this.
The next night, fast going... a little bit forward. The next night is when Vanessa is also there. Yeah. And Mike is like, so you know about like the possessed robots, right? She was like, yeah, I do. Thanks, Vanessa. Very helpful. So this is when we get what I would argue is the best scene
I love this night.
Ever made.
This night is so fun.
It's so silly.
It's so silly, goofy.
It's silly, goofy.
This is the third fort.
They decide to make a fort out of wreckage, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just of like the all like the tables
and stuff that were thrown around after the ruckus of the intruders earlier.
I think he cleaned it up in night three.
Right. And then like, they messed it up again.
They did?
To make the fort, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But like who else? You can keep the fort up.
Nobody else is using it.
While making the fort, Bonnie falls over and then gives a thumb up to indicate that he's okay. And Vanessa also gives the thumbs up, which I just really appreciate.
We also all gave the thumbs up
literally
during this.
All of us.
Like we're all like, it's so funny. I don't understand like why people criticize this scene, like why they don't like it. Like it's so cute.
Also, just so you all at home know, since you cannot see us, we did also just now do
it. Yeah,
Bonnie is a part of us,
and we are a part of Bonnie. I saw this like big animosity online with that scene and how like, you know, cute and fun the animatronics were being, but like I understand in the games they're the opposite of that, but in the lore and in the movie they're kids playing with another kid. So obviously they're gonna be like a little silly sometimes.
With another child other than the people they're trapped with
right.
for 20-ish years.
They want to make a fort. Let them make a fort.
I would want to make a fort, too.
I still want to make a fort.
We can.
We're making a fort after this.
Yes.
Night four is the night that we get introduced to, like, the spring lock.
Yes.
Which will be so very important for the end. Mike nearly goes and touches a spring lock suit, which is just, like, a rickety piece of machinery that, if touched wrong, will, like...
essentially kind of collapse it on itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's meant to just hold the person in the suit, right?
I think it's just because it's old and, like, it hasn't been maintained. It's, like, kind of, like, finicky, especially if, like, any, like, moisture gets into it. Like, in the games, it's, like, the moisture that's the problem with it.
Yeah. The spring locks are meant for both people to wear and for animatronics to wear. So it is meant to cup both people and machines. And sometimes, if pressed wrong, it does not recognize which.
Mm.
Which, for people... doesn't tend to go very well, as we will very well see later.
Yeah. You also mentioned the certain puppet that this was.
Marinette.
Yes. What's significant about that?
So in the lore, the Marinette is the soul possessing it is the daughter of William Afton's business partner.
Henry
Emily. Mm.
Henry Emily, yeah.
The one that Afton murdered, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The kid. So, and the Marinette is the one that whenever all the, like, four or five kids went missing from Freddy's, the Marinette made sure that their souls lived on in the bodies. Mm. I think the Marinette does more, but that's, like, the main thing that I know.
Pretty much.
And a lot of people are upset that the Marinette is not included in this movie. It's just, like, a very, like, iconic character.
There is a teaser at the end of this movie. At the very end, like literally end of the credits,
yes,
implying Marionette's probably going to be in the next one, which is a good segue into saying a sequel has already been greenlit.
Of course.
Actually, I think a second and third have already been.
Well, when you make a $5 billion,
it should already make a $5 billion.
Yeah, and then it's going to make 2 and 3 $5 billion respectively.
Sequels. Well, I mean, they're going to do better and better each time. No, that's how sequels work.
This movie is, like, so successful.
Then we're going to get to 10 Nights at Freddy's, Freddy in Space. So once Mike and Vanessa get back from their little side conversation, Abby is up on stage and goes to strum Bonnie's guitar like a little stupid idiot.
Yeah, we noticed that in this movie it had 4 strings. So I mentioned, as a DJ, that's a bass.
That makes sense that you would.
What do you mean, as a DJ?
Yeah,
we don't play instruments. We just play the music.
You're making too much sense right now.
I play all of my music.
I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Yeah, God.
You're really showing us up here, Natalia.
Shh.
Was I just talking about
that?
Yes.
Abby getting injured.
Abby gets friggin' electrocuted. Rip, except
like,
not actually.
Like slippery bandits, she flies across the room.
Yes.
After getting shocked.
Very strange, frankly.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, cartoony bit of action there, but, you know.
Horror movie about animatronics is cartoony.
Shocking.
But the rest of it is like somebody's face got blendered and the other one, their body got eaten in half, and now she just got like
zapped.
Yeah,
but they weren't like trying to hurt her. She was just kind of being dumb.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, like, Vanessa kind of gets on Mike about that for some reason, even though like they were in the exact same place and neither of them stopped it.
She probably knew, at least was in the, you know, best case to know that Bonnie's instrument did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like that's like, I don't know. She's so bad at communicating anything. She, like, says, like, no, don't do that, like, as, like, her hand is already on it.
It's in. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating because it's, like, it's a case of, like, communication could have solved the entire problem. And I understand that's a, you know, that's a human thing.
Yeah.
But that's such a thing that plagues movies where it feels like the plot could be much simpler,
mm-hmm.
but then you wouldn't have a movie.
I think it's, like... in my opinion, like a kind of like a character writing issue with Vanessa.
Yeah.
Where like she was written to be the character that gives Mike like all the details on Freddy. Also, like, William Afton's daughter and, like, knows about the danger, but, like, they can't have her, like, be, like, sensible and, like, tell him not to be there. And, like, it doesn't really, like, feel like that she was, like, written very much from, like, the perspective of she has whatever relationship with her father and is, like, trying to warn Mike about it. It was more of, like, the what does she need to tell Mike for the story and for him to, like, learn a little bit more. And it just becomes, like, so, like, cryptic in, like, the things she says. And then she's like, I tried to tell you. And it's like, try harder.
Yeah.
No, you really didn't, actually.
What did she say to Mike that he didn't already learn himself?
Yeah.
Pretty feel much, like nothing.
Not much.
She told him that the other night guards quit. Mm. Which, did they even quit? Some of them got murdered.
Yeah. So she's just a liar.
But that does lead us into the final act of this film.
The Fifth Night at Freddy's?
The Fifth Night at Freddy's. Freddy's Fazbear.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Cut.
That's where I want to be.
The outro to this is just going to be us poorly singing.
Yeah, because it's copyrighted. We can't.
Night five. How does Mike go in there? Does he... So, I forget like what he... Is he, like, determined? Does he have a goal? Or is he just clocking in?
Mike's not even there yet.
He gets
He gets the aunt to babysit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Abby, because, believe it or not, after getting electrocuted, he kind of doesn't want Abby to be there.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he goes there.
Yeah.
And he takes his little sleepy pills. And... the children are there.
His dream's different.
But his dream is different. And Garrett's still there.
Yep.
And the children are like, you can stay with Garrett. We want Abby. And he accidentally says yes. And then realizes, oh, I actually kind of like Abby. And
yeah, because she's like alive. And
I care about my sister.
Yeah, and Garrett's been dead for a very long time now. Rip Garrett.
Yeah.
Rip Garrett, but get over it.
Come on.
I will say that was like at least the part that moved me the most, because it's like such a, like, if anybody was given that option between like bringing back someone who like they've grieved for so long and, you know, someone who is alive, you would be like, oh, well, maybe. And then you're like, wait, no, that means someone would need to
trade their
place. And
then you think about it for more than 1 second.
Exactly.
Which, it was a little too late. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
He gets all sorts of slashed up in that dream. And then wakes up in the same freaking saw trap from the beginning of that mask.
The one that could have been Markiplier.
The one that could have been Markiplier with all saw blades in it. And it was hinted at the very beginning that one of the bolts was loose. So he manages to undo that, and he slips out just at the last second so he doesn't get his beautiful little face chopped to bits.
He kind of does like the final girl circuit where he like sees all the people that have been killed.
He kind of does.
Yeah.
They're all in one room. But
I mean, it's a very efficient circuit.
Yeah.
They're doing it all done efficiently. In one.
We see the top half of Max. The one dude with the Swiss cheese face, he got it.
And yeah, we saw his whole ugly face.
The Bonnie guy who just kind of looked like he got slapped really hard.
He has like a little bit of blood on his face. I think that's all
that happened. So then he kind of does do the final girl circuit. I'm actually glad that you noted that, where he's like running all around the pizzeria, and then he gets to that same door, the same door that has failed 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the little dum 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 dum. I'm not even gonna try.
Foxy's little jig.
Foxy scatting, yeah. That's what the subtitle says.
As the subtitles say. And then Foxy runs after him, and it cuts back to Michael's house, where Jane, the aunt, is like, Abby, can you stop sucking for a minute? Like, can you just come out here, please? And she's like, I hate you, and you smell like cigarettes. Drag her. She goes to sit down, and then from our periphery in the movie, you can see Golden Freddy,
who's
actually not supposed to stand up, but I'll get to it, who is kind of flickering between the child and the suit, who eventually appears to Abby and is like, let's go play! Woo! And then Jane's dead. Rip.
Yeah, but like she kind of deserved it. She sucked so much.
Yeah, you just see her feet, which made me think, oh, she might just be knocked out.
She's dead.
She's dead, but that's...
She's pretty dead.
I hate to jump too far forward, but like at the end of the movie, they don't talk about it.
Would you?
I mean, maybe. I mean, there was a dead woman in my house.
In my house, actually, yeah.
Like the cops would definitely show up because they'd be like, the only person in here was the little girl. And so there's one suspect, Abby. No.
Sorry, Abby.
But like she's like a kid. Like she'd get away with it.
Of course. they at least wouldn't think it was her.
There is kind of a witness because in the next scene, they go to a cab and Corey X. Kenshin is the cab driver. I was very excited about that. And I think this is a good time to talk about the cameos, or lack thereof in some cases.
No Markiplier.
Rest in peace, Markiplier. He's still alive, but you know.
Where's Mark, Will?
There was Corey X. Kenshin that got like a mild reaction from...
I'm going to be honest. I don't know who that is.
I've watched a few of his videos. I wasn't like super...
Is he like a Let's Player mostly?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then earlier in the film at the diner, the raw energy that permeated the theater at that time was nothing like anything I had ever seen
palpable.
Before or since. When Matthew Patrick, Game Theory Man, showed up on screen and the collective gasp
it was like,
that everyone gasped.
It was like a wave of like some people in the audience realizing sooner. Like there was like a few and like you could like kind of, like it was a slight buildup and then like they could fully see him and he says, but that's just a theory. And like everyone's going crazy.
Gotta say, kind of a shoehorn line, but I still enjoy that.
Yeah, the script of this entire movie was
stellar.
Was fun. Sorry, but it could have used a little more work.
It was passable. It was passable for Five Nights at Freddy's.
For a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, as good as it was going to be.
Especially based on a game series that has like so little actual writing in it.
That's fair.
Like most of the lore is like so inferred more so from like visuals that like there's like so little text. I mean, I know there's books now, but I don't think those are like written by. I think those are like other writers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was some things going around on Twitter prior to this that were like, director, when asked if MatPat or the Living Tombstones music will be in it, was just like, watch it and find out, which to me is corporate speak for no, but we wanted you to see it anyways.
Yeah, they don't want to like disappoint anyone. Yeah.
So I was expecting him to not be in it, and I literally like did a backflip in my chair.
Like, that makes me so happy that we went and saw this in theaters, like on like the opening night, because like everyone like matched the energy of it.
Yeah,
because
at that point, nobody knew whether to confirm it or not.
Mm-hmm. Literally, the only thing we knew was that at the premiere a fight broke out. But
wait, what?
No, have you not seen that?
There's like a video of a brawl.
Yeah,
at opening night.
It was extremely funny.
I wonder how those people who participated feel a month later, knowing that they fought at the FNAF premiere.
At the best movie ever.
I know. What? This is supposed
watch
to bring
the movie.
People together. Well, it was at the credits.
Oh, was
they
the,
did
oh.
watch the movie together. I guess they were like polarized
so
about it.
At least they waited.
Yeah.
Until...
Like gentlemen.
Like gentlemen. A gentleman's brawl.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the plot.
Abby's on her way to Freddy's. I wanted to talk about Golden Freddy.
Yes.
Since he's so. Like, this is like pretty much like his only scene in the movie. Yeah. So when Mike has been having his dreams, he's only really been talking to like one of the kids. And that's been the one who like is like the one who comes to see Abby at her house. Mm-hmm. And Mason, since you mentioned that like Golden Freddy isn't supposed to stand, I want to talk about, like, I don't know, like, the presence of the ghosts in the animatronics. Because, like, the way I interpreted, like, Golden Freddy, like, being able to stand and, like, be able to, like, manifest this far away, I kind of assumed that, like, maybe because the kid that's in Golden Freddy doesn't have, like, as much of, like, a physical presence, as, like, much of, like, a physical animatronic to inhabit. I wonder if it kind of, like, has, like, more of its, like, spirit retained and, like, more power as a ghost in that way, which is, like, why he's, like, the spokesperson of them and, like, why he can, like... I assume that that Golden Freddy was, like, kind just of, a ghost.
Kind of the leader of the group, I think. But, at least within the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's, Golden Freddy, to my knowledge, is not an animatronic suit. It's, like, a mascot costume. So...
Would it be, like, the original Fredbear suit, the way that Springtrap is, like, the original, like, Golden Fred or Golden Bonnie?
Don't think so.
Okay. There's just so many yellows.
There's
like yellow
a lot
suits.
Of yellow. I'm not certain, so don't quote me on that. But in kind of the myriad of terrifying fates that befall characters in this series, it's one thing to be possessing an animatronic. It's another thing to be possessing a suit that cannot move.
Mm.
So that's the reason... that in every single game you only see it slumped over because it's essentially just a husk that happens to have the soul of a child in it. Rip.
Like even more trapped than the other ones. At least the other ones can like move around a little bit.
But also for the sake of the movie, had to kind of do away with that. You can't just have the thing teleporting around everywhere.
He did kind of teleport.
A little bit.
Like how did he get there?
But he did also have to take the cab.
I think that was...
Did he take the cab to her house?
That's why the cab was out there. It was, like, waiting. It's like, sorry, can you stop here? I need to pick something up.
Initial thought was that Golden Freddy, the whole thing, the kid and the animatronic, are all aberrations. Mm-hmm. Because, which obviously is kind of proved wrong by, you know, the cab slumping over when Golden Freddy gets in the car, but...
I think it's just a silly gag. Mm-hmm. I don't think Absolutely. They're thinking about that.
Yeah, but like, Golden Freddy never interacts with the rest of the animatronics.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not sure if there's any, you know, lore context for that. Beyond.
I mean, in the
Golden
first
just not
game,
being a real animatronic.
So like most of the characters in this movie are specifically from the first game. They did have... Mr. Balloon Boy, which is from the second game, I'm pretty sure.
And Springtrap.
Third game.
I guess technically Golden Bonnie at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
He becomes Springtrap at the end.
But like the main cast of five are all from the first game. But Golden Freddy is kind of like an Easter egg character. There's like, I think he can either like spawn randomly or you can like specifically induce him by doing like certain things like with like the game settings or like a different mode of the game.
In Custom Night, if you set the animatronics to 1987
the bite of 87,
yes, that's when Golden Freddy will jump scare you and I think crash your game.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yep.
I want to play this game even more now.
I love it when my game crashes.
It's in your computer.
Freddy.
But Abby is now at
Michael.
She's now at Freddy's, but Mike is having his wounds taken care of by Vanessa, who finally tells him like what's been going on, and like he's like understandably pissed off that she didn't say anything.
She gave him a taser prior to seeing his reaction, which is kind of not smart on her part.
Yeah,
it'd be so funny though. Like, you lied to me. Tase.
I honestly, like, she was pulling out that photo of herself as a child with yellow Bonnie, you know, mm-hmm. William Afton.
And she's holding the plane that Michael's brother has been, like, playing with. It's, like, the first scene of his dream is, like, the, like, plane being played with, and she had it as a gift, which is insane.
Deranged.
Gifting your daughter
literally
the toy.
Evidence, actually.
The toy from the kid that you murdered. You're like, oh my gosh, it still has some blood on it. Aww.
I absolutely would have tased her. Not to mention the fact that she let your little sister play with these murder machines. Mm-hmm. She's just not a good person. And I don't think she's supposed to be, obviously.
Yeah.
But it makes me not want to root for her at all.
It makes me really happy when she got stabbed.
It was kind of funny.
Getting to that. So we're now back at Freddy's.
They go to Freddy's to save Abby.
After Vanessa is specifically like, yeah, William Afton is my father, but baby girl, I can't be there because I don't know if I'm going to be able to help you whenever he's there. So she hands Michael the keys, and Michael, as beat up as he is like, I'm going to go save my sister.
Yippee.
Yippee. So he crawls through the vents. There's a rat there for some reason. Just wanted to... My favorite character is the rat that shows up for literally one scene. At the same time, Chica is leading Abby to a back room.
That spring lock suit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second instance of the spring lock suit.
Yay.
I wonder if they'll show it a third time.
Perhaps.
No.
Foreshadowing. Whatever that means. Mike manages to take out Bonnie and Freddy by pouring water on the ground and electrocuting it. So they get zapped. Sorry.
Yeah, and before Vanessa says that electrocuting the animatronics will just put them out temporarily. I don't know about you, but if you shock like a machine, like a lot, like with a taser, they definitely wouldn't work anymore.
It has a battery, so it definitely like mess with it in some way.
For
this
sure.
Does actually, this might actually be a reference to the fifth game, Sister Location.
Okay.
Because a part of that is controlled shocks, which is essentially to get the animatronics back in line. You electrocute them a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
Ah.
They don't tend to like that very much. As
go figure.
Do not many people.
Have you tried that?
Not answering that.
That sounds guilty. When you get that lawyer.
So, takes them out, runs... electrocutes Chica, who is about to shove Abby into the spring lock suit that Mike almost triggered earlier. And Abby's like kind of upset. She's like, I don't know why they started doing this.
I mean, yeah, it's her friends.
Yeah.
And she's like, my friends are literally trying to murder me brutally.
Mm-hmm.
My friends don't do that. That's kind of toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which this is when like kind of like we were talking about while watching it for a second time. This is when Abby stops being like the typical horror movie weird child, because she's now aware of everything that's happening and is trying to stop it. Fierce, love her. So she's trying to hide while Mike is trying to get everything under control.
Don't they like reunite but then like get separated again?
Yes, because Mike gets attacked by the cupcake.
That damn in. Cupcake.
Literally, once again, it was in my notes three times. Why is the cupcake like that? It takes up, I'm going to say, about a fourth of my notes.
And then proceeds like a 5-minute scene where Mike is thrashing this thing around on his leg.
It's not 5 minutes.
It's not. It feels like 5 minutes. It feels like forever. I was like, just kick the thing.
It's probably 5 minutes between that and also like Abby hiding and all that.
Yeah,
probably.
She like runs away. I don't really remember what she's going to go do, but she ends up getting pursued by Foxy and she's like hiding like in the arcade area.
Mm-hmm. And in a ball pit, which I gotta say, hiding in a ball pit is a very fun horror scene.
It's like like a trailer shot.
It really
like
is.
Her like sinking into it like dramatically, like, girl, get in there faster. That thing is gonna kill you.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's like putting the bed sheets above your head. It's like, you're hiding, but not really.
Not particularly.
That's actually like the reason why I'm too scared to watch The Grudge. Because like the way that The Grudge like appears underneath the bed sheets upsets me.
That's
my
so
safe
fair.
Space. Like, I'm supposed to hide under there. You can't be under there too. That's
you also cheating. Hate like house violence.
Yeah, I don't like home invasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like. Invading my bed as well?
That's take me as a dinner first.
Good one.
Thank you. I'm proud of myself.
Home Invader. I hardly know her.
It's much fucking better.
Awful.
Really good. Really
that was
funny.
Way better.
Peak comedy.
I hope you all are having fun.
But Vanessa shows back up and saves Abby because she's being so brave. But at the same time, William Afton's also showing up.
Yes.
It's Golden. It's Golden Bonnie.
Steve Raglan, a.k.a. William Afton.
Has shown up.
A.k.a.
Has
shown up. Matthew Lillard.
A.k.a. Matthew Lillard. A.k.a. Springtrap, a.k.a. Golden Bonnie. Shows up.
Comes up and attacks Mike.
And has super strength for some
reason. Launches him.
Hunts him across the room. His little 5'7 self.
Yeah.
Gets
5'5.
Like football kicks.
Between 5'5 and 5'7, depending on different internet sources.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly.
I really like Springtrap.
I really like his design.
Like, I'm really hoping that, like, the later movies give us more Springtrap and, like, more William Afton, because, like, I, like, in my notes, I have so many comments specifically about Springtrap because I just really liked it. The movement, like, his, like, body movement. I assumed that Springtrap was also, like, a suit, the same way that all of the animatronics were. Mm-hmm. But, like, they move so differently. Like, they do, like... Yeah. Like, you can very much tell the difference between the movement of Springtrap compared to the rest of the animatronics.
Right.
Because when he takes off his helmet, it's
just a guy.
It's just a guy. It's just an old guy.
Even though there were some scenes where the animatronics were actually being puppeted, and there were some where it was a suit, essentially.
Right.
There was always that robotic movement that was not present with Springtrap.
He's so smooth.
It was very smooth, and I really enjoyed that attention to detail there.
It like makes it like kind of like jarring, like seeing him move compared to how we've like seen the animatronics move in the whole movie of the first four nights.
He's much scarier than the rest of them.
Yeah. But he's awesome.
I just have to say, Matthew Lillard, as with every film role this man has ever done, just bring it down the house.
Absolutely.
I just love him. He's wonderful.
Like, even though, like, we've been, like, kind of shitting on the script, and, like,
great.
When we were watching the movie, we were like, are these people good actors? And we're like, is Josh Hutcherson, like, doing a good job here? Is he just cute?
That was more Natalia's words than the rest of us.
If the platform that you're on even allows for comments, please comment below. We won't see it, but just let us know, do you think Josh Hutcherson is a good actor, or is he just cute?
Someone poll that.
Like if you think he's cute.
But
like if you think he's cute. And
Matthew
also...
Lillard's, he like played William Afton for like such a short amount in this movie, but I feel like it gave so much character to this man who has murdered children and has like enacted control over their afterlife too. Like the way that he talks to both Vanessa and the kids is so
like an abusive father.
It's such like an abusive father, but like he like knows exactly like the things to say to make a child like feel put down. Mm-hmm. He uses such like targeted language for children and says it in a way like, I don't know if that was the script or just him like knowing how to or like kind of like putting his own like spin on it. I thought he did like a really good job making this like final character, like the final villain of the movie, like have such a strong presence.
Absolutely.
Even though, like, he also gets finished off pretty soon after.
Yeah.
And when he first appears, I noticed this again on the rewatch. He has his little classic knife, and he does the ghost face wipe, where, like, you essentially grab the blade and just pull down on it.
It's like wiping the blood off of it. It was a very clean blade, though.
Yeah, there was no blood on the blade at the time.
Did it make a noise?
I don't think so.
Okay,
it went like ching.
How? He has like little like felt hands.
No.
Considering this is Matthew Lillard doing this, that has to be an intentional reference.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah, no, he's like one of the he's a horror icon, like of course.
Just in case anybody at home does not know, Matthew Lillard played one of the two original killers in Scream.
Spoiler for Scream. That's the wrong movie. We're allowed to spoil FNAF, but not Scream.
We're 30 years out from it.
To be fair, yeah.
I think if you don't know Scream by now, you're good.
We're in night 5. Springtrap is kind of kicking ass.
Yeah, so, he, again, literally punts Mike.
Like, then, like the little football he is.
And then is going for Abby. But Vanessa is like, nuh-uh.
And then Springtrap is like, nuh-uh, and stabs her.
And stabs her. Yay! Stabs his daughter.
Well, before that, Vanessa lets one fly right into her dad's chest.
Yeah.
Which I thought would be, you know, a little more effective, but it really didn't do anything.
I guess because there's metal in there.
There's a lot of metal in there. It might have gone fair. Like blocked.
Just probably.
Like kind of like made him like, it was like, ouchies, but like not too much.
But it was definitely like the biggest act of defiance. Then she gets stabbed. Mm-hmm. And then a scene that I find a little funny, but everyone else finds a little more impactful.
It is kind of
funny. I wouldn't say impactful, but I would say I know why.
Yeah.
I understand why it's there.
It's a cool thing to have, like, finally have Afton's influence on these children being broken, and they finally see him for the monster that he is.
Of course.
Essentially how small he is in this moment. He's not this big, terrifying thing that's haunted them for 20 years.
Yeah.
He's now just a man in a suit.
So, like, the way that they defeat him is that Abby draws a picture depicting all the murders that William Afton committed as the Springtrap suit, as Golden Bonnie, and she puts it on the wall where, like, all the kids' drawings have been. And, like, prior to that, it was, like, all, like, all the kids, like, having fun with it, presumably drawn by, like, kids, like, as, like, they're there and, like, they're really happy about it and they're having a great time, so they draw that. So, like, there was a picture of all of them being friends, all the kids with Golden Bonnie. And much earlier in the movie, I don't know, like, what this woman's role was, if she was, like, a counselor or a teacher or something, but she's, like, drawings are, like, very important to children. They, like, that's how, like, they, like, figure out the world. That's how, like, they communicate themselves. So, like, the drawings on the walls were, like, that's how the kids, the ghost kids in the suits, kind of, like, saw their existence and saw their relationship with William Afton and the suit specifically. So whenever Abby puts her new drawing on there, it, like, helps them, like, remember how they were brutally murdered, and they all turn on him. And, oh, my God, this kill.
Once again, that little cupcake.
For the fourth time.
For the fourth time goes ham and rips a hole in a suit, which is a very smart thing because now we can actually see some.
Oh, it's amazing.
And we finally get to see the iconic spring lock kill from Five Nights at Freddy's 3 with all of the spring locks digging into him.
Ooh, it's so good.
It's a terrifying way to die. And it's a very brutal scene for a character like this.
Like, the lack of violence in the rest of the movie is, like, completely made up for by, like, seeing. I mean, we don't see the whole thing because we just only see, like, the part of the suit that got mauled by the cupcake. Mm-hmm. But, like, even, like, those three things, like, you, like, see it digging into his flesh and, like, it. And, like, then you kind of, like, see, like, the effects of more of them. But, like, it just, like, keeps going. That one, like, it doesn't shy away from. But then he's, like, I always come back or whatever, and he puts on the helmet so he can, like, hopefully.
Yeah, and then he dies.
Possess the suit. But
kind of, and depends.
He might still be dying at the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's never really clear.
And so the animatronics grab Afton and start dragging him, but now the whole place is falling apart for some reason.
I guess
I don't know.
Now, like, the spirits are.
I guess because it's implied that the spirits have general control over the building. That's why the doors lock and open, mm-hmm. Lights turn on and off and stuff. But
so while escaping, Mike and Abby grab Vanessa, who's still alive somehow, and then they manage to finally escape Five Nights at Freddy's.
They survive! Yay!
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Not yet.
Not yet.
The song doesn't play yet.
It does come later.
The end of the movie after that is just Abby's more well adjusted now, and she has friends,
mm-hmm.
and they have
friends.
A better relationship. And
Aunt Jane is dead.
Aunt Jane's dead. Vanessa's in the hospital.
Don't quite address that, but
yeah.
we assume she's dead and we're happy about it.
She'll yeah. come back in the sequel.
Maybe. She'll always be back or whatever.
She'll always come back. Yeah.
I think just like the last scene is
she's Ballora.
The Springtrap suit kind of like twitching. Mm. Isn't there like an animatronic yeah. looking at him?
Just, it was, I think it was Golden Freddy, mm-hmm. who essentially does like the Jigsaw game over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
shuts the
that
door.
That was really funny.
Him.
Yeah.
Because like Afton's like reaching out, like, help me. Mm-hmm. And then Golden Freddy's like,
no,
I'm good.
And that's the end of the movie.
And then. Fun Nights at Freddy's by the Living Tombstone starts playing, which also
again,
made the theater
we went
go
wild.
Crazy.
And then there was another final little scene midway through the credits where there's another choreo expansion scene where we get the final Balloon Boy jump scare of the movie.
I love Balloon Boy in this movie.
I love and hate him.
He's so funny. Like his like stupid little face. Adorable. And like the way they just like turn him around whenever he jump scares.
I will say, as someone who hasn't, again for the thousandth time, who hasn't really seen anything about or played any of the games, I don't really get it. Like I get the jump scares, like it was scary at first, but like the second or third time around, it's like, oh, it's just a little guy.
Yeah. Aren't you happy to see him?
Yeah.
I would like to note, I think there's maybe some exception out there. There is one in Security Breach, but I don't really count that. Balloon Boy is the only animatronic who does not jump scare you in the games. He just kind of stands in your office and laughs, and then Foxy is the one who jump scares you.
Oh.
That's so funny because I don't think there was a single other jump scare in this movie.
Yeah. There was like Foxy running towards the camera, but it's not a jump scare. He wasn't like yelling.
No. He also wasn't just like, oh.
Yeah, this wasn't a very like jump scare heavy movie. Not unlike
the games.
Very
surprised for.
Which I'm glad to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because like I just don't like jump scares. We probably already talked about this. But I was going into this expecting there to be a lot of them. And there really wasn't.
No.
Which I'm certainly not gonna complain about.
No, I feel like if you wanted to experience FNAF with jump scares, just play the games.
Yeah, like imagine. That's like definitely like a way that like they like transformed the medium of the story that they're telling is by like not including all the jump scares, even though that is like the big draw of the games.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what people came in expecting, and some of the critics, you know, at least some of the audience critics are like, that's what we wanted, but
is it though? Or are you just complaining because it isn't there?
Probably just people wanted to find something to complain about.
Mm-hmm. That like I think that this movie did so much to pay tribute to the original games and like transformed it into a movie that like it has enough like faithfulness to the source while also like adapting the necessary things mm-hmm. to yeah. be an actual movie.
Because they naturally had to cut out so much stuff, but I feel like they made a competent enough story. Considering they had several years worth of material to work off of. The first game came out in 2014, right?
The peak of human civilization.
Yeah, 2014.
So we're pushing a decade of this
wow.
that they had to condense down into one movie. I think they did a fairly good job of it.
I agree.
I will bring up kind of an issue I had with it, with just the movie in general, was I struggle to find Afton's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I know some, you know, some horror characters are just, they're evil. They're bad people. They just do bad things.
Yeah.
But he's shown so little that I struggle to even see that in him because he just seems like a bad dude. And mm-hmm. like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I expected more.
I can see how you see that based on like, not like, having participated much with the lore at
yeah.
all. And like the lore is so messy anyway. Like mm-hmm. he doesn't have an initial motive at any, like slowly gets one and they kind of like give like a few reasons. That's why I'm really hoping that sequels go more into it to like better develop him as a character.
Definitely.
Cause I think, honestly, I feel like that'd be like really interesting to like see like his career through mm-hmm. a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew Lillard might be too old now to like be able to play like a younger William just Afton.
Shave
like
him and send him out there.
They do have a lot of like, I guess kind of within the games, if you pay attention to the lore, there's only so sympathetic you can be towards a child murderer, but he is at least given like some reasoning behind it. Whereas in the movie, he's kind of just like that, which is kind of a critique that I can level against it. But if you were to go into really any modicum of his lore from the games, it would take up the entire runtime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think just for the purposes of the story, they had to make him generic bad guy.
And like the main villains of it isn't William Afton, it's the animatronics. Like that's what people are there for. Even though I feel like purple guy is given like so much fondness by the community, probably because he's just a purple little guy.
Yeah.
And like his violence in the games is like 8-bit.
Yeah, so it's given a lot less gravity.
Yeah, and then also now him being played by Matthew Lillard, horror icon.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. No. Shaggy.
Known for his his one and only iconic role that really broke him into the horror scene, Shaggy.
Of course. Especially for, you know, a lot of people who grew up around the time when those Scooby-Doo movies came out. I have a, you know, certain place in my heart for Matthew Lillard. So seeing him as like a just bad dude that I could not empathize with at all, I almost wanted to, because I was like,
he's Matthew Lillard.
He's my friend. Rut-row, Raggy. Like, I was...
Rut-row. I killed those five kids.
Yeah.
That's... You saw what happened to Sparky.
No. That was going to be Markiplier.
Not Sparky.
No? I also have one critique.
Okay.
This one isn't, like, much into, like, the, like, movie-making quality, but... I feel like Freddy is like the lamest of the animatronics.
Yeah.
I'm going to be entirely honest. He's always been the lamest.
No. I mean, okay. Maybe. But like he's the big guy.
Fredbear is like the bite dude, so he's got that to him. But like Freddy's kind of just the mascot.
But no, but like in the first game, like when you run out of power, Freddy is the one that gets you. Like I he's just, like such like a he isn't like the main he isn't like the main one that'll usually like come attack you, but yeah. Like I don't know, I still feel he like he's like the big guy, he's the main one.
I definitely expected much more of him,
and like he did like chomp Max in half, which, like yeah. That was pretty cool, but like besides that I felt like his presence like wasn't given enough presence and like enough like
I can only assume that the reliance on the cupcake to do a lot of things.
Yeah, the cupcake got so much.
When the cupcake's not even like a real animatronic. Yeah,
probably for that reason, because like the animatronics in this were all practical, which I have to just immediately commend.
Except for the cupcake, which is a little frustrating. Well, obviously it is most of the time, but like when it's flying through the air for no reason, it's not.
The animatronics in this were made by the Jim Henson Company.
Yes.
So that does mean that Kermit, Yoda, and Freddy are all cousins.
Of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, the puppets, they look stellar. Awesome.
Like, just kind of going into this movie, because this was like in the works for God knows how long. I'm going to say since 2016, maybe a little bit later than that. But I was always the most concerned about what are they going to do about the animatronics? Because they can't just have like guys in suits the entire time, which they did at some points, but at no point could I really tell. But I think they really knocked it out of the park with it.
They look very good.
Absolutely.
And they look, they're like perfect for like capturing like the unnerving like nature of the animatronics.
Yeah.
But they don't go too far into some animatronic designs that I've seen.
Like the later games especially.
Yeah. I could see these being mascots.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like horror things pretending to be mascots. I could see these being like the kind of strange mascots at a children's restaurant.
Yeah, it's like the kind that like slightly scars you as a child.
Except
like the
Chica, she's a freak. She's got teeth and that's horrifying.
She's the scariest one.
Absolutely.
Even though like the cupcake and Foxy do like way more of like the like actual like attacking and like stalking type stuff. Kind of like being like the biggest like, I don't know, hunters in it.
I think probably the cause of Freddy and Bonnie and Chica's kind of like lack of, you know, doing
Chica,
much.
Chica like has like kind of like two things on her though. Like that first one where she like kind of like launched the cupcake and then also nearly putting Abby in the suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Bonnie like doesn't really get a ton. They don't have anything on their bodies that is necessarily deadly except their mouths.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like would be difficult shots to do.
There's only so much you can do with that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of repetitive. Yeah. But also, we did see the cupcake, like, chow down on three different people. Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been cool if, like, maybe replace some of the cupcake's action with, like, one of the other animatronics or, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, they cut away from and, like, it didn't feel like Freddy was really doing, like, the, like, enticing and, like, action. He was just kind of standing there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. I think Freddy could have had more presence than he did.
I guess now it's my turn to levy a critique.
If you have any, this is a perfect movie.
I think you kind of, you two have kind of, like, hit the nail on the head about the only real things I have to complain about here. But other than that, I really enjoyed this movie.
It was a good time.
Because it was definitely made for fans, kind of like you said earlier, Sean. There were a lot of subtle references. There was Sparky the dog.
I don't even know who Sparky the dog is.
Sparky the dog is a fan edit and kind of a hoax that went around about a secret, I guess technically sixth animatronic in the first game, Sparky the dog. And there was an image that floated around, and he was in the background of the maintenance room in this, which I loved. There were like references to Dream Theory, like I mentioned. There was something from FNAF World, like the Chica rainbow on the uniforms of the ice cream people at the like very beginning of the movie.
Oh, that was like, yeah, super, super beginning.
Yeah. There were so many references that I caught on a first and second viewing that made it extremely fun to watch as a fan. And I guess Sean could kind of give us like an indication of what it was like going into this completely blind to the franchise, other than like a few things.
Yeah, I will say it definitely felt very referential to other pieces of media, and I absolutely understand that. So having, you know, trying to ignore all of those pieces, it's like it follows a lot of fairly basic horror tropes. So like as a horror movie, pretty okay. As a FNAF movie, pretty okay.
I would give it fun out of 10.
how many Fazbillion dollars?
We're never going to like, I guess we're never going to directly recommend or not recommend a movie.
No.
You've made it through an entire episode. You can make your own judgments.
But this movie is a very good time.
It is fun.
I just feel like it's good enough. It's all that it needed to be.
If you are coming into a Five Nights at Freddy's movie expecting like high cinema,
expecting like Hereditary,
that's on you.
Yeah. And I think that's why I enjoyed it, because I came in going, this is a video game movie.
Yeah.
About
there's only so
animatronic
good
animals. Yeah.
And like they did really well.
They did really well, all things considered.
Yeah.
Even though it took God knows how long to come out.
Yeah, and Markiplier wasn't in it.
Yeah, actually, -$1 billion, no Markiplier.
But +$1 billion because I feel like he'll be in the sequel. I hope so.
Maybe he'll like finish like making his movie, and then he'll be open for the future.
On the last episode, I did this little thing where I said, how many popcorn kernels out of 10 would you say this is? But for this, I feel like popcorn kernels aren't very effective. I think how many murder cupcakes out of 10 would you rate this?
As a film, 6 Murder Cupcakes. As a FNAF film, 9 Murder Cupcakes.
Okay, wow.
If I'm going to be a critic and also reflective of how many of those murder cupcakes like we saw in the movie, I would say 4 Murder Cupcakes out of 10. But like for being a FNAF movie and for having Josh Hutcherson in it.
And Matthew Lillard.
But like, I don't know. I feel like because like I'm not as old as Matthew Lillard is, like I have to aim for like my age range.
Speak for yourself.
Fair. I don't know, like a 9 or a 10 Murder Cupcakes.
Wow.
It's really good at being a FNAF movie.
Yeah.
There is a, I don't exactly remember because we recorded it a long time ago. There is a good chance that we are rating this higher than we rated
you, the Babadook. You are. I edited the Babadook recently. You are rating it all way higher because we rated it like an 8.
I've seen FNAF 3 times now.
Yeah.
I again still firmly believe it's not a particularly good movie. It's a very fun movie.
So. Yeah. And that's all, I mean, that's all it needs to be.
Yep.
As a film, if I want to be, you know, that guy, I give like a 6.5.
Give it a 6, too.
How fun it is? I give it an 8. I say go watch it. Yeah. Actually, I can't recommend that.
We're not on the radio. This is just a podcast. Yeah. We're allowed to tell people to do stuff.
Free Peacock account and just go watch it on that so you don't have to spend any money.
Yeah, just like a trial.
Yeah.
So you will not be one of those Fez $1 billion.
No, and you don't need to be. Because
it has enough money.
You enjoyed our content, and so you probably won't even go watch the movie.
Give us a Fez $1 billion. Well, thank you all for listening to our podcast on Five Nights at Freddy's. This was so fun to do and so fun to rewatch. I don't think we have any ideas for our next episode, but stay tuned. Hopefully it'll be coming out soon.
We probably won't stick to them even if we do have
ideas. Yeah, no. We're liars. But.
And with that, my favorite people, we must wish you a good night, a good day, a good Freddy Fazbear. Intro and outro music for this episode is credited to Bashkir Horror, re-edition 2014 by Valerian the Greedies, is licensed under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike license.